Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and joining me, as always, is your co-host, Jim.
Thanks for coming, and just wanted to remind everybody, on your way out, please exit through the gift shop.
Sadly, we do not have Hunter with us. He's still in the midst of, well, he moved. The move was successful. So he's in your neck of the woods now.
You make it sound like he just recovered from constipation. It's just like, he's finally had a successful move.
Well, great. moving is a bunch of phases, and, you know, it sounds like most of the phases. I mean, he posted a picture about his big three monitor setup and how that's all working, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, that's a year old, or 2 years old. That was from 2013. That was one of those, like, 2 years ago this day, how Facebook coughs that
seriously
stuff up. Yeah, I initially responded to it as well, like, oh cool, well now you got no excuses, and then I looked at the date and it was like, oh,
I didn't even look at the date. I thought his computer was back up.
No, but it was funny because it's like he was hooking his computer up that day because he just got his thing, so I'm just like, damn man, like, you know, 2 years to the day. What
to
timing
the day. To the day. So yeah, it's just, he has no internet. Apparently Time Warner never showed up today or something. Which, you know, Time Warner. But, so today we don't have a guest. So we're going to talk about movie and TV spaceships. And we got a lot of suggestions from Twitter and Facebook, along with, Jim's and my favorites. So we're going to start. I don't know anything about this one, Jim, but you were talking with, Dan, how do you say his last
DeChico.
Name? DeChico.
Yeah, from Star Drive.
A Star Drive fan about this ship, which is apparently the Endurance from Interstellar.
Yeah, which totally slipped my mind. I was just like, oh yeah, I'd forgotten this movie existed.
It's a fascinating design, I gotta say. Like, so I'm looking at it, and like, so I'm guessing the ones with like the panels in the front are engines, so they make kind of a cross.
There's four of them. It's, yeah, the ones with the black on them.
Yeah, the ones with like the black panels on the front.
Right, those are the engine pods. Yeah, and the rest of them are like storage rooms and habitat and whatever. It would just be like, you know, the International Space Station with rockets on it flying across space.
That's a pretty clever design. I actually really like that design.
Yeah, because it was a thing where it's like, okay, we spin this thing, and then we have gravity in the rooms. And you know, but it's got motors on it, and it goes. So it's kind of the opposite of what you would think of most movie spaceships, right? Where you have like the Discovery from 2001, which is more like a pencil, and this thing is like a big flat ring instead. So it's almost like a traveling space station, you know, like the spinning space station model.
We do have the Discovery in here somewhere.
Oh yeah, the Leonov is the one that I like the most from.
Yeah, oh, yeah, the one from 2010.
Yeah,
with the spinning midsection.
Yep,
that's a great ship.
Yeah, it and the Sulaku I think are related. So.
Oh.
Did the Sulaku have a spinning thing? It didn't, did it?
Sulaku is that's Mailings. The one from yeah, no, I think it had a small one. Well, there is a picture in here.
Okay.
So we'll take a look. But so you were saying that the front part was detached of this ship?
Yeah. So what they did in the movie, they flew up there because it's like the space shuttle, right? It can take off and land more like Star Trek-y.
Right.
And which is interesting, right? Because like, how much fuel does it take to actually get the space shuttle off a planet? But in the movie, the big driving thing in the movie was fuel. And how much fuel does it take for us to visit? Because there was like three potential planets, and it's like, well, we can only visit two of them, and we have to pick, right? Because we've got this limited fuel. And then they get the shuttle like down on the planet, and then they're talking about, well, you know, we can only like get down there and then take off, and then we're out of fuel or whatever. But the thing is, like, it's not small, but. I mean, compared to other spaceships, it's a minivan, right? So I'm just like, where's the gas, man? Like, where is that? Because it takes the space shuttle, like this giant multi-thousand gallon, you know, like giant torpedo of a gas tank Like right. the majority of the shuttle launch is gas tank. So it's just like, well, that was a little weird here. Like they have this one thing that doesn't make sense with the rest. But the movie, well, that's kind of how the whole damn movie was, right? It was just like, here's some really cool ideas, and then we're going to screw it up with some, with like Patrick Swayze's Ghost. You know, what? Like, really? What, did you ever see Ghost with Patrick Swayze?
Yes.
Okay.
I've definitely seen that.
Take Ghost and put it in a hard science fiction movie.
What? Right?
And that's kind of, yeah, it's, it just what? Like shit in this movie. It was like,
how does that, what?
Mm,
well, it makes,
I would wreck the movie for you if I told you.
Go ahead and wreck it. I'm probably not going to see it anytime soon. Okay. I'm not in a rush. So whatever.
Okay. So imagine it's 2001. Okay. And I'll just do it in the context of 2001. So they go there and there, Hal is in this movie as well, but he's a robot. And the robot that is basically the Howl in the movie. There's a couple of them, but they are, it looks like the Monolith from 2001. And I don't think that was, a mistake at all.
The robot looks like the Monolith?
Exactly. Yeah. It's a flat slab of steel, but, but the robot can then, well, you find out that it's actually sectioned so it can walk because, you know, it just like splits into a left and a right side and, walk right and shit like that, and then I need an arm. Well, there happens to be an arm here. You couldn't see it because it was just like part of the rectangle, but then an arm flips out, you know, that kind of shit. So it's a magic robot. There's a scene where it needs to run really fast, so it just turns into like it looks like a an asterisk, right? Because it just like it instead of turning into like an X, it's like a six pointed X, you know, it's like three sticks instead of two, and then it rolls, and it can haul ass. Yeah, the robot is actually kind of cool, right? It's like, I'll forgive that. It's up there, like, it ain't R2-D2, but it's a pretty weird thing. So Hal is actually a nice guy in this movie, and helps everybody, right? And at no point does the robot go crazy and try to kill anybody. The humans are crazy and try to kill each other, and that's enough, right? But yeah, I'm looking at you, Matt Damon. So, but anyway, they fly to this planet, and his daughter is on Earth, right? And she is trying to solve the problem because Earth is dying, right? So he goes off into space. She stays on Earth and grows up. And then you have the time dilation because, you know, relativity, right? Like, he's traveling fast. He doesn't get old. She grows up. So she's like a middle-aged woman now. And she is trying to solve this math equation of how to basically, like, figure out gravity, right? Because if we can figure out gravity, we have this giant space station that we've built, but we can't get it off the ground. So if we figure out gravity, we can put the whole population of Earth into these space stations and then take off and leave Earth behind, right? And we'll live. So he goes off to survey these planets where they're going to land, potentially. And then some weird shit happens where basically they get sucked into a black hole, right? And he's trying to enable the other to get away, but he has to sacrifice himself. And it's actually part of the ship because Matt Damon was a dick and like blew up part of the ship. So they didn't have enough fuel again.
Is that why people are saying, oh, I don't know about him in The Martian.
Yeah, exactly.
He was a dick in Interstellar. I'm like completely different character in The Martian.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting though. I mean, it was just like, he went fucking space madness, right? Because he was like on this planet alone for it, very much like The Martian, right? That's why people are making that parallel, because it was like he was like alone on this planet for, you know, decades, right? And just went fucking nuts. So whenever people come, then he's just like, yeah, we need to leave right now, you know? And he's like trying to steal the ship and kill the guy that wants to, you know, stay or whatever. And he's just nuts. He's not thinking logically about anything, because it's like if he'd have just like shut up and chilled out, they'd have left anyway. Huh. Right? So there was no need to try to murder anybody. But anyway, so he sabotaged the ship and actually killed himself in the process and stuff. Nice. So, but the ship is all fucked up. So then they're trying to get back out through the wormhole. Well, in order to do that, they have to slingshot around the black hole, right? Well, there's too much weight. So the guy in the ship that is attached to it detaches to let the girl have less mass and she can make it. But then he gets sucked into the black hole, him and the robot, right? So they fall into the black hole, and then it turns into like this surreal fairy tale ghost story thing. Because, yeah, because there was stuff that happened in the beginning and middle of the movie, like when she was a little girl, and it was just like weird little things, you know, and it was like, I don't know, what are they trying to show here? This doesn't make any sense. Well, when you get to the end of the movie, then Dad is a ghost in her room, and he's behind the books in the bookcase, and he's kind of like looking into her world, right? But he can't manipulate anything, but he can basically use gravity because he's figured out gravity. He knows the secret, right? Because he's a space ghost.
So did he have a curmudgeonly subway ghost help him figure out how to manipulate objects by force of will?
Well, it's actually he is manipulating gravity. Because gravity can be manipulated across time. Okay?
What?
That's like the only thing that can cross time is gravity. Yeah.
What?
It's science, man. They made up some science. So,
what?
Right. So it's whatever that force,
doesn't make
whatever
any
force
sense.
Of gravity can actually transcend time and space. So,
what?
He is in this realm. You know, he is now one with the force. And he's basically using gravity to like line up dust that's falling off the bookcase and like write in Morse code, right? And then she sees that. Well, she figures it out, and then he tells her he's gonna give her the formula that saves all of humanity. It's like, here's the magical secret of gravity, right? The, you know, my theory of relativity and how the universe works and everything. Uh-huh. But the only way he can communicate is he can hardly move anything, right? Like he can move dust, you know, shit like that. Now, because he was able to move dust, like you'd think, well, just take your finger and fucking write like it's a chalkboard. No. What he has to do is actually like nudge the second hand on her watch. So she's looking at her watch, and the second hand is just like very mildly bouncing, and it's Morse code, and she starts scribbling, right? And they do this for like years, where and then it's like, Eureka, I've got it, and she throws a bunch of papers in the air and celebrates, and then somehow he is found, and somehow at the very end of the movie, he's found adrift in his spacesuit, still alive. And it's kind of like in Aliens, right, where they find the Ripley in the frickin' escape shuttle and pull her in, cut her out of the thing. So you see like a ship is going by, and it's like, hey, there's a guy in a spacesuit. Let's pick him up. And they haul him in, and it turns out it's him. No idea how he got there. You know, it's like God put him there or something. He, you know.
What?
Yeah, but this is like, you know, 40 more years in the future. Right. So then they resuscitate him, and he walks into this hospital room, and there's his daughter who she was like a teenager when he left. Right. And now she's like 90 years old on her deathbed, and all the family's gathered around, and Dad comes walking in, and he's like 30. And
what?
Yeah, well, because relativity, right? You know, they wanted to show he never aged and whatever.
Fuck's sake.
And then so he walks in, and she's like, hey, you know, like, we're safe. You saved us. You know, I'm so sad that you had to go, but, you know, it's like it was for the greater good. But Anne Hathaway needs you because she's back there on that planet. And she's lonely, and she's doing this all herself, and she's going to die alone. So why don't you go be with her? And he gets on a ship and like takes off to see her. And then you see her at the end and she's got like a bunch of embryos. Because plan B was if we can't get humans there, we can get frozen and sperm and eggs there. And then we'll just like have one person that will hatch a bunch of human eggs and then raise the first generation until we can get them impregnated. And then we'll just breed a whole new human race on this.
I'm really glad I didn't see this movie.
I hated this movie intensely.
I'm already getting annoyed. I'm getting annoyed based on you just describing it to me.
Yeah, I'm
getting annoyed. But the ship looks cool.
Yeah, the ship looks. That's basically what we come down to is like everything about space in this movie was fucking cool. Everything about people in this movie was insane. It was just like Matt Damon was the only sane person because he was like, I have to kill all of these people to get out of this movie.
Wow.
So.
Well, good for Matt Damon, I guess. I guess that's what happens.
I can't wait to see The Martian, though. That's going to be
good. Oh, I can't either. Good. I'm so excited about that. All right, so next ship. This was your pick. The flying saucer from Forbidden Planet.
Damn straight.
Awesome. Which I've not seen since I was a kid, so I barely remember anything about that movie.
Well, this is the thing, right? What if the saucer shape is actually, it turns out to be, because we discover, you know, like some electromagnetic gravitation, magical, you know, relative drive bullshit, right? And the whole thing about it is like, you have to have some sort of like proton accelerator ring or some shit. So you're going to have a ship that's a ring, right?
Yeah.
So you build the living space inside the ring, and you get a flying saucer. So I just think that we have not had any exploration of saucer-shaped ships in anything since this.
Well, now that they have those that new engine that we all were talking about.
Exactly.
That new engine, that could definitely make saucer-type ships. And you would think a saucer type ship would get through the atmosphere, because it could just slice through, right?
Maybe. Yeah. So the other place, do you have my other saucer pick on here?
I do. I'd have to scroll through it.
Because there's video of that, and it's like if you can whip the video up on there, I'll provide you with the video because it is the most beautiful spaceship footage. From the 60s.
Yeah, there it is. I got it.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen this movie. I know I've seen this movie. I think yeah. Mystery Science Theater. Which movie was this again?
It's Earth vs. Flying Saucers.
Yeah, Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah, and it's on YouTube, like the whole movie in 720p HD. Like, watch it. Dude, the movie's awesome. I mean, seriously. Great. Oh God, they colorized it. What?
Come on!
Wow, no, that's cool. Unless this is just a colored. Oh yeah, they totally colorized this thing.
No.
Oh no, they didn't. This is a goddamn scammers. They have like a picture, and it's like, oh, watch the whole movie, right? And it's like an hour and 43 minutes, but it's an hour and 43 minutes of the watch this movie picture.
Don't worry about it.
I don't even know
if we're allowed to kind of show that kind of shit on here. That's copyrighted nonsense.
Okay, but it's Ray Harryhausen, the guy who did the stop motion animation in like
Clash of
Titans and King Kong and all that. Yeah, so that guy, he did fucking UFOs, and it is just the most awesome because you know they come up with this ray gun, basically. It's like they put them on the back of tank or of trucks, right? They have like cargo trucks, and they put this frickin' ray gun on the back of the truck, and it's basically like a magnetic cannon because they figure out, well, these things fly by some kind of electromagnetism, so if we hit them with this magnet beam, it basically breaks their field and they can't fly and they just crash. Well, they're shooting them down in Washington, D.C. So they have them, like, crash through the Capitol Dome and one of them like cuts the Washington Monument in half and stuff. And because it's all stop motion, then they had to stop motion animate the bricks that fell out of the walls and stuff, and did it really well. Like, you know, they did it in chunks. It's not like each brick individual like they do with CG today, but it, you know, it's like dust and chunks of brick and stuff that they animated. And it's like, you know, he had to have all that stuff on pins, you know, and like switch which pin was holding the brick where, and it was just like weeks to animate a saucer crashing into a building. So that the amount of effort that went into this movie was just absolutely phenomenal. And it shows, like, when you watch this thing and you think, like, this was done before computers were, you know, even in the scene, and they had to do everything here frame by frame by hand. And it's just bonkers. So, yeah, I love this movie. I would say for that alone, I mean, the plot's kind of weak, right? It's basically like, you know, people of Earth, stop playing with nuclear weapons. You know?
Wait, we're still talking about Forbidden Planet, right?
No. This is Earth versus the Flying Saucers is what I was talking about. But Forbidden Planet, not a lot was said about the ship. It was just like, hey, here's the ship. You know,
yeah,
and it almost has the feel of like a World War II movie, where it's just like, you know, hey, here's the Jersey Boys, and we're on our ship, and you know, we're like, you know, rowdy military guys, and we're on this planet because it's kind of Star Trek in that way, except that they're kind of like they're disciplined, but they're not kind of thing, and yeah, but then they get there, and there's like scientist and his hot daughter. And the super cool robot, right? Robbie the robot made his debut in this thing.
Right.
But yeah, so what they find out, you know, because this is like the classic science fiction of the 50s and 60s, where it was like, at the end, we're going to punch you in the face with a moral, right? You know, here's the lesson of this movie. And it was basically that the aliens who had lived on this planet invented a machine that could make their thoughts reality, right? So if you can think of it, you can have it. Well, the problem was that subconsciously they had like horrors, right? So, you know, it's like in our subconscious psyche, we're monsters. And if you make a machine that lets those thoughts out, then the monsters become real in the world around us.
Right.
So it was very dangerous, right? So, and that's what ended up happening is everything was peaceful until the humans showed up, and the scientist was jealous because the guys were making eyes at his daughter, and he got defensive about that, and then his subconscious like conjured up monsters to kill the soldiers.
Right.
And he didn't even realize he was doing it, kind of thing. So, yeah. So in the end, mankind is the monster. So. Dun, dun, dun.
Apparently, Tokens in the channels were looking for Fugitive Alien 2. I love the Fugitive Alien movies on Mystery Science Theory 3000, but he apparently can only find the... Oh, that was a good ship in that movie. He can only find the MST3K episode. I'm like, why would you want the original? I'm sorry, why would you want the original? Oh, you would miss out on the best song they ever did. He tried to kill me with a forklift. Olé! Remember that?
Like, I have actually not seen Fugitive Alien, but
oh my god, it's so terrible! One of the characters is called Rocky. So like every now and then you'll just hear the captain say, "Rocky, set a course again." You know, it's like, oh shit.
Yeah, like, is this a Japanese movie?
Yes, it's a Japanese movie.
The entire movie, untouched by Mystery Science Theater, is actually. It's on YouTube if you search.
It's on YouTube.
Yep.
It's well, like give me a link. I'll put it in the put it in the Twitch chat.
Oh yeah.
Tokens will be very appreciative. So let's move on to the next ship, which I actually know something about. The good old Discovery from 2001, a classic design. I gotta say I love this ship. It's one of the first ships I actually, besides the original Enterprise, that I remember, you know, as a kid. Was this one. And this, I think this ship was very influential for me in that it really helped like cement my love of spaceships. You know, because it's just such a very simple, elegant design. You know, and I just love how one of my favorite things about this ship is this. It's a little thing, but remember the seats in on the bridge, how they kind of leaned forward at this weird angle.
No.
Remember that? You don't remember that?
No, I don't remember them leaning forward.
They like leaned at a weird angle. They weren't looking straight out. They were like leaning or something, if I recall correctly. Mm. And such a really just neat design. I love the design. I don't know how they did this in the movie with Bowman running around,
yeah,
you know, jogging around the rim of the ring of the dome there. I don't know how they did that. They probably just like had him stay still while they circled the set around him, I'm guessing. But
yeah, well, they probably just built like a ring,
yeah,
that he could run on, yeah. But, yeah, know, a little gerbil wheel.
I've got it on Blu-ray with a bunch of special features that I should watch. If you've not seen this on Blu-ray, by the way, this is just amazing. I keep threatening to show it to Nicole, who has not seen it. But that's one of those movies you got to be like, I'm really tired. I just want to watch something. It's not a very fast-paced movie, you know, or action-packed. But it's just so good. So let's move on to the next one. Ah, my favorite Klingon ship, the Bird of Prey. Once this was introduced in, I think Star Trek III, right?
I think it was three, yeah.
I think it was three. And then they just kept using it and using it and using it and using it.
You know, yeah. I don't know. I think that it was neat, okay? But I think that it was overused. It's to the point where
it was.
Like, because the D7 is the Klingon ship. Okay.
That's the muscle. I do love that design. That's like the backbone of the Klingon fleet. That's like the muscle. But this is something I love about that. I love how the ship can land on planets. I love how its wings like go up and down.
Well, it had a lot of utility value.
Which I think I like about it. I think that's what I like about it. Is the utility.
Uh-huh.
It's a very versatile ship. I think that's why it kept getting used.
That I have with it, though, is that it's a frigate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Constitution class, especially the refit, is a frickin' warship. It's a cruiser.
It's a cruiser.
And the Constitution and the D7 are supposed to be a fairly even match.
Yeah.
It should swat this thing like a gnat. And yet, in the movies, it gave the Enterprise just shit beyond belief. You know?
Well, there's a reason for that. In three, the Enterprise was run by three people, and there's no way it could fight. And in six, the thing could fire while it was cloaked. I mean, that's tough to fight.
Yeah, that's true.
That's tough to fight against. But I do love how blah, 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 blah. In Deep Space Nine, one of the major Klingon characters, Martok, who's fucking awesome. He keeps a Bird of Prey as his main ship. And someone in the chat, Waystone, says the neat thing about the Bird of Prey is that it was designed based on a weight lifted flexing when the wings are down at angle. Oh, weight lifter. It was based on a weight lifter flexing his muscles. I guess that's what he's saying.
Oh, weird.
That's interesting. But yeah, there's something I love about the utility and versatility of this design. You know, it just screams Klingon to me. You know, maybe even a little more than the D7.
Yeah.
You know, and I love the D7. Don't get me wrong. Classic. But I think this is a nice refinement. I think. So let's move on to the next one. Now, someone suggested this piece of shit. I think the fucking A-Wing. I think it was, Nate. From Twitter. Yeah, fucking Nate. You know the guy who loves to fly the fucking thing in X-Wing versus TIE Fighter?
Mm-hmm.
That asshole. Yeah, he's like, oh, let's do the A-Wing just because it pisses you off. Yeah, right, it pisses me off. You're basically flying like a wedge with engines and two little cannons on it. That's really all that fuck. I don't like the A-Wing, but I've never liked the A-Wing. But I think it's a boring design. my own self.
Yeah.
I could see why some people like it. It's very simple.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, I think it's cool. I own the Hasbro, you know, action figure version of the A-Wing.
Oh, really?
And it looks nice. Oh, yeah, I've got all the ships. Yeah, I need a shelf that I can actually display them on.
Like, the box. You just display that shit, yeah. Yeah.
The only one that I paid beyond retail was the B-Wing, and I actually got that at Celebration 2 and paid like $150 for that.
Woo!
You know, yeah, because that was like in that gap, right, where, you know, this was like late 90s. So shit had not been made for 15 years. And
yeah, where there's nothing except books. And
yeah, and there was no... Oh, here's a Target exclusive. You know, we're bringing it back. No,
it's Lego. Here's Lego. No,
I'm not a Lego guy at all.
No, but there wasn't even that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. There wasn't even that.
Exactly. So, it's interesting that God, it's coming out this year, like in a couple months, right? Like when's Star Wars coming out? Christmas.
Christmas.
So,
yeah.
not so long.
Right?
It's like four or 5 months. So,
I know.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, The hype machine is not near what I would have assumed that it would have been.
Well, I think they saw the mistake they made with the Phantom Menace, and they've decided to try and keep I think they've tried to keep expectations more realistic, because the stuff they've released has really tugged at my nostalgic heartstrings. You know, all the, like the Comic-Con thing where they showed all the practical stuff, and the actual trailer where they had Han Solo at the end. You know, just really, really hit me in the feels, man.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what they're going for. Yeah.
The thing that I look at and the reason it's like, okay, JJ, Mr. Abrams, right? All right. But,
yes.
But JJ, he has never done anything that I've actually liked. Okay. I like his ideas. But yeah, his actual execution and follow through is horrific, because he does things like, this would look really cool if we did this. It doesn't have to make sense. We can just do this thing, right? Because I want this visual something, right?
See, that kind of worked for the first Star Trek movie because the story was so light that it was okay.
Yeah, but okay. Yeah. So in the second one,
I think. Oh God! I don't know.
Right, everything in that movie.
Everything. What I so much pissed me off. Like, RoboCop's.
We're gonna inject you with con blood, and then you'll come back to life. And yeah, okay. So at that point, I figure, all right, this will be like a vampire movie, right, where they have a human like hooked up, and he's just like, they're just pumping his blood out and feeding off of it.
Like,
that's what
like Mad Max.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they should have done in Con, right? Is they should have just milked that guy like a blood cow and just be like, we're going to cure all disease with his blood.
There's so much wrong with that movie. I mean, there are two things I particularly love/hate about that movie. One, the fact that, this is the super secret ship I've been building to fight the Klingons, but I happen to have a model of it on my desk. Like, what? And then, wait, why?
I know,
and
the absurdity of that is just like.
And then I'm gonna use transwar beaming out of this tiny little ship to beam to a planet several, however, gajillion light years away, parsecs,
yeah,
even. Like, what? No! Come on! There's a lot I can accept in Star Trek. There's a lot I can suspend my disbelief for in Star Trek. But when you push it so far that you have even me going, come on, you know, it's like, no, you're failing. You're absolutely failing. But the thing that has me excited about the new Star Wars movie is that Lawrence Kasdan, who wrote and directed Empire, is a major force behind this one. So that gives me hope. That gives me a lot of hope, because Empire is obviously the best one, obviously. So let's move on to the next ship. What do we got? Ah, yes. Several mentions came up of Babylon 5, which I've tried to watch many times and never succeeded. Ever. But
yeah, Star Furies, man. Badass.
Yeah. There was very cool ship.
There was another one that I think you would like even more than the Star Fury. It's like a modification of that. Just marry that to an A-10 because it had like the giant cannon on the nose.
There's another ship from Babylon 5 in this list. I think it's the Shadow Ship.
Oh, yeah.
Someone loves that. But
the Shadow Ship is like, it's a cross between like a hairy spider and a sea urchin.
Yeah, it creeps the fuck out of me. But Emma was saying just don't start from season one. Here's the thing. I've tried to watch bits of season one. Like, a friend of mine had a curated list of episodes from season one and two to try and get me into the show. And we only watched those. I spent like a day at her house. And we only watched those, and I still couldn't get into it. I don't know why. Some sci-fi shows, like Stargate or Farscape also, for example, they don't click with me. I don't know why they don't click with me. I love sci-fi. You know me. I love sci-fi. And some shit just does not click with me. But we got a few people mentioning Babylon 5 ships. And I got to say, the designs of the ships in Babylon 5 are pretty cool to the point where – it's really a shame the video games never worked out. It's just such a shame the games never worked out. You know? Because there was supposed to be, there was the one that Sierra was working on. That, I think Dynamics was working on it, actually. Does that sound right? And then there was I Found Her, which kind of got finished. But not really.
Yeah, well, but I Found Her was actually a Free Space mod.
Was it? I thought it was its own thing.
No, it was a Free Space mod. And there are a couple of Free Space mods. Like, if you want some Babylon 5 in your life, just go get the Free Space mods and you're fine.
Okay.
Because they did for that kind of what, like, the Battlestar Galactica one, whatever the heck the name of that was.
Diaspora,
yeah. They kind of did that for Babylon 5, but a little bit more primitively because it was like, you know, 10 years ago. But the Star Fury is definitely like, it's Newtonian physics and, you know, spins on a dime, shoots behind it. And all
yeah, that I always liked watching, like, I've seen like bits of the space combat from Babylon 5 on like YouTube, and that, I always enjoyed that.
Yeah.
You know what I forgot to include? The fucking hammerhead from Space Above and Beyond. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that
one. You know, another one, because saucer ships, right? The Jupiter 2 from Lost in Space.
Lost in Space, yes.
You know, what I thought was very interesting, because I'm looking at this Star Fury, and it made me think about the fighters that they had in the Lost in Space movie. That movie was such a piece of shit. But
I don't even remember. I saw that in the theater, and I don't remember fighters.
Yeah, at the very beginning. It was what's his name? Mark LeBlanc from Friends, I think.
What?
Or whatever the hell his name is. Yeah, the dude from Friends.
He was in a
fighter ship at the beginning, like shooting somebody down. But the fighter was actually, it was a bubble of glass that he sat in a chair, like suspended in the air in the middle of this glass bubble. And then there's like a fighter body, like almost like a B-wing that is around it.
Oh, I think I remember
that. Yeah, it was a freaking weird thing. I mean, it was like completely impractical, kind of whatever. Like, yeah, we're going to fight in space in a glass ball.
Yeah, I think I vaguely remember that.
But the thing the thing that was cool that I just thought was very nicely done in the movie is whenever they go and they show the Jupiter spaceship, right? It is the original saucer from the TV show.
Yeah,
it
I thought
takes
that was
off,
a
and then that was like a heat shield that busts off, and then they've got like the cool modern ship inside. And
yeah, I thought that was a nice touch.
Yeah,
I thought that was a real nice touch.
I thought that was a good nod. Like that. Yeah. That's how JJ should have nodded to Star Trek fans. Not, I'm going to do surgery on a torpedo because I'm, oh God, like.
The new Enterprise isn't bad, though.
No, I like the new Enterprise.
I do like it.
Very cool.
I do find the big clear plastic window in front of the bridge a little problematic.
You know what I find to be a problem is that the bridge in general looks at, like the makeup counter at Macy's.
Oh, I was thinking it looks like an Apple store on steroids.
That too, so, but it's all glass and lens flare.
I know, yeah.
Look at those two checkout guns, man. The fucking barcode guns from Walmart that are... You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So, like he thought no one would notice that, right? So that's what gives me fear about Star Wars, right?
All
right. Is that kind of shit. Because,
So, you know. The next ship on our list, sorry.
No, go ahead.
The next ship on our list is very feminine.
Oh, very, yes.
Very, very feminine.
Did you take this off my list, or was it already on yours?
This is on your list. And you know what? I grew up with this ship, and I do have a soft spot for it, because I saw it when I was like 7.
It's the Star.
You know, 8? Yeah, it's called, I think they called it Mother.
Yeah,
I think
it's the Star Uterus.
It's like, yeah, it's basically a uterus with two boobs at the bottom of it. It's basically what it is.
Very
look at
feminine.
It. That's exact super feminine.
Yes.
This ship is the weird. I mean, it's not so bad when you look at it from the side. You know, it looks more like a traditional ship. You know, it's kind of squarish, it's kind of like rectangular if you look at it from a side profile, from what I recall. But the front, what the hell, Roger Corman? Come on. Did you remember they reused this ship for another movie where a small Mexican boy?
Yeah, it was like a cheap reboot of Flight of the Navigator.
Yeah,
I own that.
I really wanted to find the original. I was so tempted to find the original Battlestar Galactica and say this is the ship from Space Mutiny, but I didn't. I just didn't. But I wanted
Blast Hard Cheese.
Blast Hard. Lark Hardcastle.
Yeah.
Oh God, yeah, that guy. Oh, God. But this ship, I don't get this design at all.
I actually used Blast Hard Cheese as my name in an MMO the other day.
That's
just to
great.
Make me proud. So
Tokens call this ship the Reproductor. Tokens wins the podcast. I will send you your prize in the mail, whatever it's gonna
speaking
be.
Speaking of Reapers, you know that game that you've never played? Oh, those were kind of interesting.
What game that I've never... What?
Mass Effect.
Oh,
The Reaper ships in there. They're giant, like, Cthulhu old gods that were ships. Yeah.
Yeah, that would creep me out.
Yeah, like, big walking... They were like, walking space squids. Right? But, yeah, with laser beams and shit. But anyway, yeah.
All right, let's move away from this... Whatever the fuck this is. Now, this is the only picture I could find of this particular ship. It's the human fighter from Enemy Mine. And I don't know why, but there's something I really always loved about this design. I don't know if you could see it on the stream yet.
It hasn't
come up yet. It kind of mixes, Tuckin said he had more jokes. I just couldn't look at that ship anymore. I didn't want to have it on my screen anymore. I was starting to be offended by it. I was like, no thank you. But, I didn't even mind if it was a movie in the,
it finally came up. I do not remember that at all, but that's the most generic looking ship I've ever seen.
I always liked it. I don't know why. It reminded me of the mix between like an Art Deco, you know, blimp. And a space fighter.
That's an Imperial Courier from Elite, actually.
It kind of is, with the wings going the other way. But this is the fighter that, quote-unquote, Dennis Quaid's character flew against Louis Gossett Jr.'s fighter, if I recall. I couldn't find a picture of that other one.
Right, but yeah, we knew Lou Gossett Jr. was going to take him down, right? Because he had a...
Fucking Iron Eagle.
Well, right, because he had a 15-year-old kid and an F-16 backing him.
Oh, never God. Say die. You know what?
It's like, you know how they have that, like, the cinnamon challenge where, you know, it's like, I bet you can't eat a whole teaspoonful of cinnamon the ice bucket challenge where you do that. They should have, Iron Eagle challenge where anybody that can, it's like, I want to raise money for ILS. if I'm going to watch all 5 Iron Eagles back to back.
God, that's right. There's 5. I've always seen two. Didn't the third one have prop planes or something?
I can't say that I've seen all 5 either.
I've only seen the first two. I've seen posters of like the third and the fourth one. Like, well, really?
You know, I'm a completionist, right? Like,
yeah, of course.
If it's terrible and I have it, I have to have them all. So I have all the Iron Eagles.
And do you have all the Starship Troopers? We're going to get to that ship eventually, but there's like three or four of them.
I own one and two, and I downloaded three.
Okay.
And watched it briefly, but it was also horrific.
Yeah, three is the one where they actually introduced the power armor.
Yeah, like, but isn't three also the one where it was like, okay, now the bugs have... It was like the Terminator, right? Where they like introduced human-looking bugs or some shit. What? I don't remember. It was something so offensively stupid, my brain just ejected.
Oh my god, really? That's fucking hilarious. But folks, if you've not seen this movie, this is actually not a bad movie. The humans and this alien race are at war, and one of each race gets stranded on this really horribly, barely habitable planet, and they have to survive helping each other. And it's Louis Gossett Jr. and crazy ass alien makeup with a weird ass accent and Dennis Quaid. And it's actually, at least as a kid, I loved it. I don't know if I would love it now. I haven't watched it recently, but if you like cheesy sci-fi 80s movies, it's definitely one to put up there next to Megaforce and Krull and Daryl and Cloak and Dagger. I could just go on. Explorers. I should have put that one in here. The ship they built from their dreams. I didn't think of it. So let's look at the next one.
What about Solar Babies? We could.
What's Solar Babies?
Oh, God. If you haven't seen it, no.
I don't even know what that is.
It was an 80s movie. Somebody in the chat's seen Solar Babies.
I should know. I love terribly cheesy sci-fi 80s movies. I should know that one.
It was like roller skating, street hockey. Karate Kid era.
Oh, kind of. That one? That's what that's called?
Yep.
I have seen that. Oh, that was terrible.
Yes.
I remember how
it's right up there with Roller Gator.
Oh, that was almost as bad as that. Remember that show Street Hawk?
Yes.
Oh, God.
That was Knight Rider on a motorcycle, man.
It was, but the motorcycle didn't talk. Or my favorite, Automan. Remember Automan?
You could say that I own some DVDs
of Automan. Yeah. I knew we were friends for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
So here's another favorite of mine. Going back to Star, I don't know if this is the first Star Trek ship we've done.
Token's asking, have I seen the animated movie called Legend of Orin? Yes,
Star Chaser.
Yep.
That ship is in here.
Oh, nice.
That ship is. I love that ship. But I've always loved the Runabout. I always loved the idea of a versatile, small warp capable craft that could be armed.
Yeah, I like that too. It's like Star Trek Shuttle 2.0. It's a warp capable shuttle. Great.
Yeah, it's basically, you know, what the Winnebago in Spaceballs should have been.
Mm-hmm. But really, what is as cheap and effective as this thing is, you would think that Starfleet would be full of these.
Like, well, they got replaced on Deep Space Nine fairly regularly.
Yeah.
You know? So they probably have like a fucking like planet just churning them fucking out, like a whole dock.
Well,
just
yeah, but right I, about mean, I mean, in a practical Starfleet, right, where it's like, hey, we need to send a science team to this planet. Do we send a battle cruiser?
No.
Or do we just warp them there in one of these? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, this is enough ship for somebody to get somewhere. This would be... If you were going to have a Star Trek game that was
like
Privateer, this would be the ship.
This would at least be one of like the earlier ships you'd get at least.
Oh, totes. Yeah. This would be ship. It would just be like, yep, we've got a...
As much as I love the Tarsus, I'd definitely take this over a Tarsus. Definitely. But on Deep Space Nine, this was like the only ship they had for the first two seasons. And then they eventually got the Defiant because they knew shit was going to hit the fan and they didn't think the Runabouts could handle it. In fact, when you first like really meet the Dominion, they clearly show you the Runabouts can't handle it, which is amazing. But I've always loved the Runabout. They didn't get used much on Next Generation, but they were a constant on Deep Space Nine. Oh, speaking of Deep Space Nine, my favorite Star Trek ship ever, the Defiant. A ship made to fight the Borg, but called an escort ship because Starfleet's not supposed to have warships. But this is clearly a warship. Clearly a warship. Yeah, it's got quad photon torpedo launchers and all, it's got all kinds of weaponry. In fact, it's overpowered. In fact, the ship is severely overpowered. But that's why it kicks so much ass. Like, I didn't get why it was, like, a big deal in First Contact, because I hadn't seen Deep Space Nine at the time.
Mm.
You know? I didn't get why it was a big deal that ship survived, but now I get it. The Defiant is just such a great ship. It's not, it has none of, like you see the quarters of the Enterprise, and it's like a hotel room,
mm-hmm.
you know? The quarters on this ship are what you would imagine a submarine in the future would be like. They're bunk beds with a desk. You know? That's yeah. much more militaristic, you know? So, yeah, this is my favorite Star Trek ship that isn't the Enterprise. And I just love it's just a mean design. It's just a mean, like, I just love that design. So here's one of your favorites. This, I think, was the first on your list. The Eagle from 1999, Space 1999.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just a kind of fascinating design, really. Did you
own the action figure toy of the Eagle?
No, I never did.
Oh, my God, it was beautiful. It was like I had no want for a Millennium Falcon because I had the Eagle, and that's what my folks flew around in because awesome. The actual action figures were terrible, like very bad action figures. Right. But it was exactly the scale for Star Wars guys to sit in it, so there you go. But I do like that ship. The thing that I like so much about it is it's like futuristic enough, yet it's completely nothing but practical.
Yeah, it's very believable. It's very it feels like this is a very attainable ship for the technology we have and could in the near future have.
I think Space 1999, wasn't that a Gerry Anderson joint? Because
it's
like
he
did
sure.
UFO and he did Thunderbirds. Do you have one of the Thunderbirds ships in your
I
list?
Do not. Okay. I do not. Did they ever go into space?
Hell yeah, they went into space. It was the Thunderbirds, man. They went anywhere they damn well pleased. So, yes. You know, another ship that I don't have in here that just occurred to me is the space pirate ship from Captain Harlock. That was
Captain
awesome.
Captain Harlock, why do I know that?
It was anime. It was space pirate Captain Harlock. But the ship was like this giant ship that had a giant skull was the front of the ship, and he'd just like fucking ram people with it. Yeah, it was a skull-shaped battering, you know, skull and crossbones.
I think I have heard of this, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it.
They actually did an anime, like a nice anime, a modern one.
Oh, really? Of
it. Yeah. The problem is that it sort of suffers from like anime syndrome, where when they do a series on TV and it's like seasons long, then they have a cool complex story. Whenever they do a movie of something,
yeah.
it invariably turns out like that Final Fantasy movie, the first one, where it was like, oh, this is the Gaia ghosts of another planet, the whatever, the spirits from the, you know, it turns into like Japanese culture hocus pocus science fiction stuff.
I heard that Final Fantasy movie was terrible.
Ooh, Lord, it was terrible. And, I mean, graphically, it was amazing. Like, nobody had done computer CG, like a cartoon like that yet, right? It was great. But the story was just like, just gag me, man, because it was just like, well, you know, Earth is rejecting the souls of the, you know, the essence of this other planet, okay. the core that came here and whatever. And that's
right.
why, and it's like humans had to live in this dome with shields that kept the ghosts of the aliens out. And
what?
Oh, God. Like, J.J. Abrams could have actually made that movie better if he'd have applied the Lost thing. Like, the Lost smoke monster would have made sense in this movie. Yeah. There's that.
But apparently Captain Harlock is on Hulu.
Oh, really?
The original series. Nice. That's what Waystone is saying.
Yeah, that's.
And apparently did you say there was a live action movie?
It's not live action, but it's like anime of a very high quality, computer animated. It's
Emo
not like
85. Mo, I guess Mo 85 said there's a live action movie, as well.
Yeah, I need to figure out what the hell the name of that ship was, because it was awesome.
All right, moving on to the next ship. Let's see what we got here. Ah, the Event Horizon. That movie was fucked up. That's really all you can say about it. That movie was fucked up.
It was not the movie I wanted.
We have had that chat, but that movie was fucked up. But you know what I want to say about this ship? This ship looks like a ship that's been to hell. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, apparently the ship's name in Harlock is Arcadia?
Yes.
That's a waste of
time. Yeah, I'm looking at a model of it right now.
That's where my girlfriend's from, which is funny.
Oh, damn. It's only $46. Yeah. Really? It took me to Amazon, and now I'm shopping. Ooh. Ooh.
Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
This so looked
you
like...
You remember Battle of the Planets? Star Blazers?
Sure, yeah.
Battle of the Planets. It was Star Blazers with the Yamato. They did a live-action Yamato movie.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that movie also was... They fucked that up, man, because it was... Okay, it used to be...
It looked really nice.
The Gamelons were, like, green people from space. They were like, you know, space Nazis or something. And then they were bombarding Earth with, like, radioactive asteroids or some shit, right? Just trying to get us all dead. Well, in this movie, they couldn't just have, like, evil green people from space. Oh, no, it had to be this crystal entity race that was, you know, souls of some whatever, right? And it was just like, no, just make them frickin', like, enemy empire people from space. Just leave it the fuck alone. Don't try to make some kind of some kind of frickin' spiritual journey out of this fucking movie. It's, you know, because then, well, it's like, well, we can just do CG and they'll just be like crystal people monster things. But it's like, well, this is like the mother crystal where they all come from, and the whole, and they just wanted peace, but we couldn't. But the fucking battle scenes were awesome. So I just fast forward through anything that resembles story. There is a YouTube video that is the Yamato movie with everything but the space battle stuff cut.
Why?
Because that's the only part of the movie that's worth watching.
Oh.
Is the space battles.
I see. Oh, I thought it was the reverse.
They cut away all the bullshit. It's like if they're not shooting at each other in spaceships, it's gone, and it's frickin' amazing. But yes, there's
anyway. I did love the design of the Event Horizon. It was a mean looking ship. It was just a scary looking thing.
Yeah, here I'm gonna put that's a picture of the Arcadia, the model that they sell on Amazon.
Okay.
With the big skull ram on the front.
Oh, I have seen that. Yes.
I think it's a nice touch. Like the back of the ship is still like a
sailing ship. Yeah, yeah, a pirate like ship.
Yeah.
Totally. Well, the front is like just a bayonet, just a big fucking bayonet. Yeah, it's basically what that is.
Yeah, it's like, I wonder what he would do with that.
Oh, slice through everything. All right, let's see what we got next. So we talked about this particular flying saucer already. Was it Earth versus the Flying Saucers?
Yep.
So,
I talk about that movie every day, all day.
No, I'd rather talk about The Last Starfighter.
Okay.
Particularly the Gunstar, which I fucking love this ship with all of my heart. I seriously do. I love the tandem cockpit.
It's got a lot going on. Yeah.
I love the Death Blossom. I love that it doesn't, it lands on its bottom. And not its engines. I love how it has to go straight down, you know, to land. And it's got laser turrets like all over it and shit. And the guy in the back is the pilot, and the guy in the front is the gunner.
Yeah, there's
like an Apache.
There is a really excellent papercraft model of that thing that's out there.
I believe it.
Yeah. Well, there's everything's in papercraft.
Yeah.
God, I saw some dude was making like 24th scale battle mechs out of papercraft. And
yeah, I think the Star Chaser that I found, the picture of that was a papercraft.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's just something about this ship really fucking captured my imagination at the time. It's just such an, I think it's a very elegant design.
Well, you know, it's an X-Wing that has departed from the entire Star Wars-iness, right? It's just like, because this movie came hot on the heels of Star Wars, and it was just like, yeah, we're not going to copy Star Wars. This is going to be Star Wars, but not, right?
Yeah.
Because there is a lot of Star Wars there. I mean, like, the whole scene where it's like, okay, we're going to sit in the briefing, right? And now you must fly around, and there's this small exhaust port, and, you know, it's like that briefing scene is kind of in both movies, right? Where
a little bit.
Yeah, but I don't know. It was more entertaining in Last Starfighter because it was almost like a wink and a nudge at Star Wars.
It really was. It like knew it wasn't that serious.
Yeah.
And it had fun with it. And that's one thing I love about this movie is its sense of fun.
Well, you know, I had forgotten because it's out on Blu-ray now, right? And
of course,
In watching that, they did not. I mean, they kind of remastered the stuff with the humans and that. They did not touch the CG.
Like, they didn't have to.
Well,
it's just. I don't think they do. I mean, it's so.
Is that picture on your screen actually from the movie?
I think so.
I don't think so because the
movie I'm not
is
sure.
Not that detailed. It was very primitive compared to that. But yeah, I was watching it and I was just like, oh God, that's very primitive CG from then. But I mean, that was like amazing then. But that's what makes Babylon 5 hard to watch now too, is the ships are bad.
Rough CG, yeah.
Yeah, they're tough. Like, but whenever you look at like Jurassic Park, I watched the original Jurassic Park again the other day, and it doesn't look bad at all. Like that CG.
No, yeah, we watched that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and the CG from the new one, that's all the same to me. It's like it just has not changed significantly.
It holds up.
The first one, and I go, ooh, no, not at all. So yeah,
I think it held up rather well. The original Jurassic Park, I think it held up amazingly well.
Yep.
But I have a real soft spot for The Last Starfighter, CGI warts and all. the thing with Babylon 5 is it didn't really have a great budget for that sort of thing. I think that's one of the reasons why when they finally had a war on Deep Space Nine, they actually were able to do it right because they had, because the stuff, the CGI equipment had gotten cheap enough to do it well. That's why there never really was any fighting in Next Generation, because it was all fucking models. You know, you can only do so much with models, you know. I do miss models a bit, but, Deep Space Nine did it right. So let's see what's the next ship. Ah, yes. What the fuck is this thing called?
You know what? If to do this right, you should have actually found Legos of each of the ships that we talk about. Because I'm like looking for an original picture of the Gunstar, and somebody has made such a freaking great Lego model of it.
I'm sure they have.
Yeah.
Put it in the chat. I'm sure they have. I believe it. I totally believe it.
In fact, that's a feature that needs to just be a story that we do on your site. Is just like, let's just go find all the cool Lego spaceships of the classic movie stuff.
That's not a bad idea. Let me add that to my list of
yeah, and I want to see a Lego Spaceballs Winnebago. I wonder. Okay,
there's so, got to be one. Got to be one.
I'm just gonna look right now. Let's see.
The internet let us down. There has to be one.
Does that thing have a name?
I'm trying to remember. Hang on.
Oh God!
I think it did, but I just can't remember what the fuck it was called.
So there's actually a petition to make a Spaceballs Lego set.
I believe it.
And this is what's included. This is our proposed Spaceballs Lego playset. Dude, that's so awesome.
Oh, it's the Eagle 5.
Oh, look at these. I put, just pull those up. Put them in the stream. Oh my god, that's so perfect.
Whoa!
I know, right? It's just like, are you sure that's not a store-bought kit?
Look at that, people. Shit. That's amazing. That is amazing.
Oh my god, the talent that is out there.
That's incredible. Yeah, Eagle 5. I didn't know that actually. I didn't know it actually had a name.
look at this one. The bumper sticker.
Oh, well done. Well done. They even have the retractable jet engines.
Yep.
The big engines from the back.
Somebody was paying attention to that movie.
Oh.
Can I say? Oh, yeah, God.
That was
Spaceballs 1. Does it turn into Mega Maid?
Oh, God.
That's so great. This is what I love about the internet, man, is just like, holy shit, that's huge.
There's everything.
Somebody made a giant Spaceball 1.
What?
It's not small. It's not small at all. This isn't Legos, though. It's just like a model. Maybe it's the original one. Yeah, it's in a glass case. Maybe it's like in a freaking museum.
I did find an image as like Spaceballs, the sequel Lego set. I don't know what this is. Hang on. That looks pretty great, though. When I saw Spaceballs in the theater with my dad, or with my grandfather, excuse me, and the first shot is just the ship going by and going by.
Yes.
And going by. At one point, I just started laughing my ass off because I got the joke, and like he was like, "What? Why is this funny?" Oh man! Have you seen? You've not seen Star Wars? I mean, every movie, they start with a Star Destroyer going over the camera. So that's why this is funny. But yeah, I love the Winnebago.
You haven't seen Star Crash yet, have you?
No.
Okay.
No, Star Crash?
No, Star Crash. The movie that was, it's Italian Star Wars. It was made in like 79.
I know. Yeah, we've talked about it. We've talked about it. I know of it.
So they do that as well at the beginning of that movie where the ship flies over really slow. Except that I built a lot of models when I was a kid, and I know whenever you have a ship flying by and I can identify parts that are on the ship, I'm like, oh yeah, those are the wheels from that Russian BMP tank kit, and these, you know, and it's like, oh yeah, these, and there's sections of it that are just like the sprues that the parts used to come on, and yeah, it's awesome. That ship is so fucking bad. Like, everything in that movie is bad, but that ship in particular is super terrible bad.
Well,
and they unintentionally did the Spaceballs thing, because it flies by for like 5 minutes, and it's like, and it's not to be funny. It was just like, look how cool of a ship we made.
Leonov. Now we have the Leonov, which is from 2010, which... It's probably, I mean, I enjoyed 2010, but this is the best thing about 2010, let's just be clear.
Yeah, I also liked, between 2001 and 2010, the pods that were in there.
Yes,
the EVA
pods.
Those were cool.
Those are cool. Those are cool. They were definitely cooler than the pods from the Discovery.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But yeah, still, either way, they were cool. But it was interesting to see, like, okay, the Russians solved the problem this way, and the Americans did it that way.
Yeah.
Thing, right? So.
Did you ever read the book 2010?
Yes. Yeah. And I even read, what was it, 2061?
Yeah.
What was the final one? Yeah.
No, the final one was 3001.
Oh, I never read that. I gave up 2061.
Don't. They found. Remember the co-pilot from Discovery? What was his name? Frank Bowman? Right?
No, Bowman. Well, Bowman was the guy that turned into the star baby at the end, yeah.
So who was... Okay, the other...
Frank Poole.
Poole. They find him floating in space in 3001, and they revive him.
Did he get sucked into a black hole, and then he used
gravity
to tell his daughter
He was just kind of skirting along.
Oh, because I was going to say, there you go. We got Interstellar again.
No, he was just skirting along, and he was apparently alive. But this movie did. I mean, the only thing I didn't like about the movie after reading the book is that they felt like they had to add the whole Cold War shit.
Yes.
To it. Because the book didn't have that at all. They were like, hey, we're buddies, you know?
Right, because the book too, but like 2001, it was just like humanity has gotten past this shit. Like we've reached the stars, we're like brotherhood of whatever and stuff. But then I guess at the time that 2010 was made, the Cold War was pretty warm.
Like, it was so, like 84.
Yeah, it was like 84. Forefront of everybody's mind was, you know, the day after, and
it's a shame because I don't think they needed to do that at all. There was like no reason, and then it makes the movie a lot more timely.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you watch that movie today, and you're like, why the Russians? Why are they? If like someone didn't grow up during that time, they're like, why are the Russians not our friends? You know? It was just so stupid. But this ship was great. This ship was great. I just love. It's just such a utilitarian design. You know, it looks like, hey, this is never landing on a planet. We know it.
Yeah.
We built this in space.
It's like it does the one thing that it's supposed to do.
It goes from point A to point B and back in space. That's it. And it gets you there alive. And that's what it does. With some gravity. You know? So that is a great ship. What's next on the hit list? Ah, yes. Ah, the Star Car from The Last Starfighter. Going back to The Last Starfighter. It's a spaceship. It counts.
It's true. It's sort of a grocery getter / spaceship, but
I love this thing. It's cool, man. I still want one.
The thing I went back and watched Last Starfighter, and the shocking thing to me was how much BS is in that movie before you ever get to talking about space at all. It was just like, oh my god, there's like an hour of dead movie before anything.
It's
cool.
It's not an hour. It just feels like an hour.
It does.
But it's not actually an hour. It's like maybe half an hour, but it feels like an hour because you're like, let's get to the space already, but it's not actually an hour. I just wish there was more of the Star Car in this movie, honestly. You only see it twice. Three times, but it only flies like twice.
Speaking of, it did
make a cameo in Back to the Future too, if you recall.
I have not seen Back to the Future 2.
Really?
I've only seen the first one. I heard there was three.
You should see the other two. They're worth seeing if you like the first one. They're definitely worth seeing.
Yeah. Well, if we were talking about like cool cars in sci-fi, I would say the Landmaster.
What's from, that?
It was like a Winnebago, but it had like triangular triple wheels and stuff. Mm. It was like a post-apocalyptic. I forget what the hell the show was. Oh, it was Damnation Alley had the thing in it.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
It was a 1970s. Oh, I have seen this thing.
Yep.
They used it a lot.
It was like that thing from the 80s, right? Where it's like, we got a cool prop. We're going to use it in places.
Yeah,
much like Flying Uterus.
I saw it in Highway to Heaven. And I saw it in Get a Life. I'm not even kidding. It was in those TV shows.
Oh wow.
And I have seen this thing. What a wacky ass.
They actually found it. It was like in somebody's backyard and
I love that.
And there's like a process of restoring it going on right now. So I told you about my buddy Pat, back when I was a kid. He had the Galileo from Star Trek. And the shuttle from Star Trek, he had the freaking Galileo. The problem was that it was made out of like press wood and then whoever had had it before him had it in like a leaky barn or something. So it was like half rotted and whatever. So he had started this project of trying to restore it. And then it was way too much for him. So then he got other people involved, and eventually he got distanced from it and just kind of like they took it kind of thing. But it's done now. I saw there was some deal where it was like on tour or something, and they had to like build a new frame so that it was mobile, right? So it was like, let's build this steel frame on wheels, and then we'll rebuild the Galileo around it. But they tried to salvage as much of the original material as they could. So
yeah,
but neat.
It's kind of like the aerial ambulance from Firefly. That thing actually still exists, and it's in a storage somewhere thing, but it's actually gone on tour. You know what I'm talking about, right? Where the episode Ariel, where they steal shit from the hospital in Firefly, and they steal an rebuild an ambulance, basically.
I don't remember it, but I mean, it's like, God, it's been so long since I watched Firefly.
Oh, you should.
But I bet that show's in here.
The Serenity's totally in here. But let's move on to the reimagined Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, I like the new Galactica a lot more.
Oh, the new Galactica is so great.
But the old Galactica was at its best in Space Mutiny, I feel.
Yeah. But I loved, and the picture I have is kind of like a seriously battle damaged Galactica. This is like the Galactica after several years on the run. So like you can see the craters on the top of it, and you can see where the water thing exploded on the side of it, and parts of it are bent outward and shit. But even with all that damage it got, that thing, like when its back broke in the final episode, I nearly cried. I nearly just fucking cried.
I think the coolest moment of all of Battlestar Galactica is
the moment you're talking about.
When they warped in the atmosphere.
In the atmosphere. I was screaming at my television. I still revisit that scene on YouTube every now and again because it's just so fucking awesome. And I love how a moment before everyone's like, where the fuck is Galactica? Oh, she's in the fucking atmosphere. Holy shit!
Yeah, I also liked how the ships warped in and out there because it was very, it was instant yet very violent.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. it was a thing that just, you know, it basically just like ripped space.
And
it was like an explosion with no fire. You know,
exactly.
Very very cool.
Very cool. Yeah, yeah. One wonderful ship. And do you remember the final episode where her back broke and like the whole ship just like kind of went ka-gunk, you know, and you could just tell that its main like supporting frame just snapped and never going to jump again. And that's right before they sent it into the sun, which that's a whole nother fucking Oprah, because that episode was so fucking stupid in the end. Ugh.
Well, yeah, like everything about the last season was bad, but the closer they got to the end, at the point when Starbuck came back from the dead, is yet another J.J. Abrams style, like fuckery of the audience, right? Because they were trying to do the same bullshit that Lost was doing, where just like, here's a cool thing. Well, we don't have any plan for that, but wouldn't it be cool if? You know, we'll just open this can of worms. So they had cans of worms open everywhere, and they never went back and tied anything up, right?
Nope.
So it was just like, well, here comes Starbuck. She's back from the dead, right? Because we needed to have a cliffhanger where she got killed, but then we're going to bring her back. Is she a Cylon? What's going on? Well, she doesn't know.
She's an angel.
Oh, my fucking God.
Or something. And, you know what? They should have just stopped at 33, or maybe I should have just stopped at 33, because 33, you know what I'm talking about.
Well,
these finest episodes of science fiction television ever made.
Yep.
Just fucking, and I didn't realize it at the time, but it was all fucking downhill from there. Just slowly for a while.
Exactly. They shot their wad in the first season.
The first episode. And then it was like down, down, a little bit up, down, down, a little bit up, down, a little bit up, and then.
Phew. Yeah.
It was such a shame. And the worst part about it is we had to wait like a year for some of that shit. Like, what? But the ship was cool. I always liked the Galactica more than the Pegasus. The Pegasus was like too bulbous, whereas this just looked mean and metal and old.
Yeah, and tough. And also I liked how the nacelles on the side, the hangers, would pull in when it was going
to
jump.
Yeah, when they're about to jump. Yeah, that I really liked that.
Yeah, there was a lot about that thing. Like, who was it? It was Zoic, wasn't it, that did all the space stuff? Yeah, those guys are awesome.
Same people who did Firefly and Serenity.
Yeah, Zoic. They should just do everything. A show with spaceships Maybe. And no fucking people, and then you can't screw it up. It's only when they have like too much humanity that shit gets screwed up.
Yeah, what's next? Oh, of course, Millennium Falcon. We don't have to say a lot about this. I mean, everyone.
What the fuck's an aluminum falcon?
He's actually crying. That was so amazing.
You know, Seth Green, I want to hug him sometimes.
I know. I love him. He was so great on Buffy and Greg the Bunny. And you just give him his own show and he just runs with it. And it's incredible. So, yeah, the Millennium Falcon is just a classic. For a while, it was my favorite spaceship of all time. It just didn't get any better. Though we've tried flying it in space games ever since. And you're like, what the fuck is this? How does anyone fly this?
Right. Well, the thing that I thought was very interesting about it is that it was sort of a decrepit piece of shit that was held together by, you know, chewing gum and a prayer.
Well, it looked like a decrepit piece of shit on the outside.
Right,
but
it was
like,
a little bit of a sleeper.
Yeah, exactly. It could fly rings around just about anything.
Yeah, but it was a thing where it was like Solo and the Wookiee, right?
And it sounds like a great 70s cop show, Solo and the Wookiee. Friday night, it's a 9 at ABC.
When they do the Han Solo movie, it would be really cool if the guys that wrote the dialogue from Almost Human, the buddy cop shit in the car, if they wrote some dialogue like that for Solo and Chewbacca, just like...
I am in complete agreement with you.
Oh my god, that would
Almost Human. Yeah.
I miss that show so much. It will never happen, right? But
I miss that show so much.
But it's just like if you could just show, I don't know, like how do you do Han Solo and Chewbacca in? They can't do a movie or another movie with Harrison Ford. I hope not. Right?
Isn't it young?
What I'm thinking. It's going to have to be like young Indiana Jones, right?
Yeah, which wasn't bad.
No, but it has to be like a young Solo. So originally he was a TIE fighter pilot, and then I think his decision point was basically like whenever he freed the Wookiees.
Yeah, he didn't like
he was
the
part of that
and slavery and
right,
so,
and,
yeah,
and then
them.
And then Chewbacca, you know, the whole life debt and everything.
Life debt thing, yeah,
please,
exactly.
Please. Please make the movie be that. Please. Can we please have that?
They probably will. I mean, that's what people want to see.
That's the only thing that makes freaking sense, right?
That's the only thing
in Solo and Wookiee history that I give a shit about.
Yeah.
Unless you want to go back and show, like, the card game where he won the Millennium Falcon from Colt 45. But
I'd be okay with that, too.
Yeah.
And maybe, no, the first movie is that it ends where he saves. No, it'd have to be, no, because he was a TIE fighter pilot.
Well, you know what the deal would be? They'd need to end it with him sitting down at the poker table.
Yeah.
That would be, the whole, like, TIE fighter thing. For a little bit of the movie, have it be like a little bit of Top Gun, and then he has decision point, right? And how he gets away with Chewbacca and shit, and then they end up like on Tatooine at the cantina, and they sit down to a poker game, and there's Lando.
Right.
Roll the credits. That would work because everybody would know, like, oh, this is when it happened, right? So, but you don't have to show the frickin' poker game, right? That's when you just say, like, nudge, wink, here's what, you know.
A good Star Wars fan will know what's happening.
Exactly.
So the next ship is a bit obscure. It's from a Star Trek Next Generation episode called The Booby Trap. It's where they find a 1,000-year-old Primellian battlecruiser in an asteroid field, and they get snared into the same trap that snared this cruiser 1,000 years ago. It was very hard to find a good picture of this thing, but I always liked how it looked like a ship from 1,000 years ago. Just kind of pieces jutting out of it, like a very clear bridge section. Do you remember this episode at all? It's where Geordi fell in love with the hologram.
Nope.
The, Yeah. He had to, for some reason, he couldn't talk to his whole engineering crew. He had to bring up a hologram of the person who designed the Enterprise's engines. It was this really hot chick, and he fell for the really hot chick on the holodeck.
So I wonder though, like, if we had holodeck technology like that, right? And you could just
it would have to be self-cleaning holodeck.
I know. If you could have super hot girlfriend on demand and it had an off switch, right? And you know, but it could be, but you could like tailor like the perfect companion for you. Then why do you need real people at that point? Right? Like there should have been some Star Trek exploration of that. Like who just lives in a holodeck because they don't want to deal with the real world.
Right.
That would have been a pretty interesting exploration. It would have been like, you know, nerds living in mom's basement. But no, I just live in the holodeck now because
like Barclay, you'd be like Barclay, who was a great character. Such a great character.
Is that a dog?
That
was the Star Trek dog, right? It was Barclay.
Charles. No. That was the Battlestar Galactica dog.
That was Daggett.
God, Daggett.
I was so disappointed they didn't have a damn Daggett.
I was super happy they didn't have a damn Daggett in the new series. Super fucking happy.
Oh, no.
So this ship, of course, everyone should know this ship, the NSEA Protector from Galaxy Quest. This ship is fucking great. You know what I love about this ship? It could take a fucking beating. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This thing got hit by missiles and mines and all kinds of shit and, like, just had some scratches on the hull. Really? I mean, it got damaged inside, I guess, but this is a tough little ship. Really wacky design. Like, kind of like a weird frisbee boomerang thing with like a dildo in the middle of it. I don't know. But I love Galaxy Quest, so I kind of love this ship because of it. Did you hear they're making a show? They're going to actually make a show?
Not sure how I'm feeling about that.
I'm not either, but since it was based on a show, the movie was based on a fake show, I'd love to see what they do with this fake show. So what's next? Ah, there you go. This is one you requested. The Roger Young from Starship Troopers, one of the only good things about Starship Troopers.
Yes.
Really.
If you liked the combat stuff in Starship Troopers and the spaceships and whatnot,
that wasn't
the
bad.
Anime that they did is really good.
Oh, no, I have. It's more CGI, right? Because I have that. It's called Roughnecks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I finished the first season a little while back. Really incredible. Really, really good. Like the CGI is like, oh God, my eyes. But if you get past that, it's really a good show. Much more in spirit with the books than the movie was. But this was a good ship. I like the design of this ship. Very, very functional. You know, very simple. It looks like a space-bound warship. You know, I love the engine pods. I think that's my favorite thing about it, are those, like, crazy-ass-looking engine pods in the back. Oh, for God's sakes. What is that?
Probably don't put that on the stream.
I'm not putting that on the stream.
I'm just looking at Lego ships, and somebody made a... Well, it's a space dick. But...
Space dick. The engines are the balls. But now we have a classic.
It looks like the Serenity yet aroused.
Oh, geez. So now we have a classic, you know, Serenity. For a while, this is my favorite ship. For a while, I really do love this ship. It's a ship I can easily imagine living on, you know. And I like how the Firefly universe has no like faster than light speed travel.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that. Kind of makes it a little grounded in reality. As much as a show like this can be grounded in reality. But something about the design of Serenity, it's like it looks like an old rust bucket, but it's kind of like a Millennium Falcon a little bit, and that's fast and maneuverable. And well, if you've seen Serenity, the movie, you know it's fast and maneuverable.
Yeah. Hey, so in the chat, I just posted, there's somebody actually made, it looks like a plastic model
Oh God. Yeah. There it is. Yeah. This is what I was saying. If you,
unless that was a toy back in the,
I don't think so. I don't think there were toys of this thing. This looks like a 3D printed model or something, but, yeah, you look at it from the side, and, it looks like more of a normal spaceship type thing. It's when you look at it from the front. What are people in the chat saying about Bob's Burgers? What is wrong with you people? Anyway.
Oh, wow. Check this out. Somebody, do we have this even on the list? The frickin' Valley Forge from Silent Running?
What's Silent Running?
Oh, God. Okay, so Bruce Dern. Are you familiar with Bruce Dern?
Yes.
Okay. Bruce Dern, space hippie, is on this ship that basically, like, Earth was dying. So they took all the biospheres of Earth and put them in domes on spaceships and sent them away, right? Like, you know, go away from Earth. And then when we fix the climate, you can bring the animals and plants back, right? Or whatever.
Sure.
It was basically like Noah's Arks that went out into the universe. Well, halfway through the movie, the government calls them up and says, yeah, fuck it, eject all that nature and just come back home because, you know, we're not going to fund this trip anymore or something. Like, the money is already spent, right? It didn't make sense. But they were just like, all right, abort the mission, eject all of Mother Nature into space and whatever. And Bruce Dern was like a granola-eating hippie spaceman. And decided that, no, I'm going to probably just murder the other crew and continue the mission. Right? So that's what the movie was about. But the cool thing in there, and I'll put this up on the Facebook page because I saw a documentary about it today, in fact, where it was talking about Huey, Dewey, and Louie, the three droids that were in the movie, and how they did the practical effect of these robots walking around was actually double amputees. It was people that didn't have legs and they were walking on their hands inside the robot suits. Yeah. It was like if R2-D2 had little legs instead of wheels,
we must be getting popular because we actually had some trolls in the chat room that I actually had to ban.
I've never
banned anyone in our chat room before.
Skull Sniper.
We made it, man. We're somebody. All right, let's see what the next shit.
So what was all that message deleted? Were you actually deleting it? Or
I banned them. Yes, I banned them.
Oh, so when you banned them, it deleted everything.
It looks like it did, yeah.
I didn't get to see what they said. I'm so sad.
You're not missing anything.
Mm.
You're not missing a thing. So you suggested this ship, the classic Borg Cube.
Yep.
Because
that's a case of somebody just
pure said, function.
Somebody
pure
just
function.
Like, yeah. Fuck it. Just make a make a box.
Pure function. No. No. Yeah. It doesn't need to go in orbit. I mean, in atmosphere, and if it does, whatever.
Yep.
Whatever. So yeah, it's
here in the chat. These are the three drones from Silent Running. Now just. When you look at this, just realize, like, there are people with amputated legs walking on their hands in those things.
Hang on. Oh, geez.
That's what makes this movie so frickin' amazing.
That's terrible.
Well, I mean, they didn't cut their legs off just for the movie. I mean, it was, you know, they found them that way. So, you know, it was... But, yeah, I mean, in the documentary thing, they actually, like, interview the people who were doing it and, you know, the actors, and they were just, like, overjoyed to actually find a role that they could be in that was, you know, something like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I like that, like, at all. That's just weird. But, yeah, the Borg Cube, I love it's just so Borg, because the Borgs are like, we don't care about anything but function. And this ship is just purely function. There's nothing pretty about this, I don't think. Some people like this ship. I think it's boring as fuck. But that's what works for the Borg, I guess. You know? So let's see what's next. Ah, we were talking about this earlier. Star Chaser, The Legend of Orin. I actually had this on VHS many, many years ago. I loved this ship.
So it was kind of a Star Wars yet fantasy thing, right?
Yeah. Like this guy escapes from a mine or something. He's a slave, but apparently there's a prophecy or some shit about him freeing the slaves, and so they try and get him back, and he runs in with this guy who
was
wants
it.
The
was it like
chase.
I am Stardicus?
Maybe. It's been so long since I've seen it, but
Is he a space gladiator?
I remember how this ship landed. This ship landed because, do you remember?
That ship is kind of Serenity looking, but yeah.
Yeah. The engines would swivel to 90 degrees, and then the front portion with that telescoping looking neck would like lean down, and so it would not only have a landing gear strut, it would have a ramp. So it looked kind of like a bird coming to rest. And it was really nifty. And this is the only picture that I could find of the fucking thing.
Wow, that's pretty neat, though.
Yeah, no, I really dug this ship. I had to figure out, like, I couldn't remember the name of the movie. So I had to type stuff like 1980s animated movie about a boy slave or whatever into Google, you know? And this actually came up rather quickly, actually. So, wow, Google. Good job there. But, yeah, this was a great design, I thought. Oh, man. All right, so let's see what's next. It's funny how that came up earlier. Yes. The Sulaku from Aliens. What a mean-looking ship, right?
Yep. And it was definitely purpose-built. And
definitely purpose-built.
Yeah.
All these antennae in the front and shit. I think either you or someone else was asking if it had a spinning section, and it did. It had a little tiny spinning section in the middle.
Yeah, because I was thinking, like, it was a little bit inspired by the Leonov.
A little bit. But this
it was like, let's take the Leonov and bolt a bunch of guns onto it.
Let's take the Leonov and just make it badass. Let's not make it more science-y. Let's just make it more warshipy. And that's,
This is actually, like, 2010 after Spock goes back and tells them about the Borg. And then the Leonov is all guns. Except that there was a model of it on his desk.
Oh, God. Oh. The sad thing is you don't get to see a lot of this ship. There weren't a lot of really good pictures of it that I could find. This was the best one.
Yeah.
You see more of the inside than anything else.
Yeah, I think if you want to see it, you have to buy that Aliens Colonial Marines game.
Oh, really? It's in there?
Yeah. Well, what? A ship that's just like it, but yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's... if you can get that game for, I don't know, 25 cents or something, then maybe.
No, I don't. I've already got that Space Beast Terror game, which is randomly generated and doesn't have a story I don't have to care about, so I'm fine.
It's randomly awesome.
That's true. It really is. It really is. All right, so what's next on the Hit Parade? Ah, my new favorite ship. I'm not sure when this became my favorite ship. But it's the TARDIS from Doctor Who. And this became my favorite ship when I realized, wow, it's got almost an infinite amount of space inside. It doesn't go anywhere in time and space.
Is it, like, really a spaceship, though? Because
it is a spaceship. It flies in space, sure.
Does he actually fly it anywhere? Okay, because it's like all that I've ever seen is it disappears and then reappears.
There's an amazing car chase.
Oh, but see, that's a car, right? I remember where they were, like, flying, and he's, like, hanging out the door and stuff.
Yeah.
But that's not space.
But he also does fly through space. There are bits of episodes where they are just hanging around flying in space. Yeah, the thing can totally fly in space.
Okay.
But it has this precise way of landing and taking off where it can just go anywhere, almost, really, that it can fit. So, it's old, it's cranky, it needs six people to fly it, and it's only him, that's why it's always shaking about. But I would love to have a TARDIS go anywhere in time and space and, like, have, like, libraries and swimming pools and movie theaters and everything just in your ship, and you can land it anywhere, mm-hmm. and it's bigger on the inside. It's fucking great. You know, why would you want anything else? I don't need guns. I just want to go everywhere. And that could literally take you everywhere. It's been from one end of time to the other, one end of the universe to the other. I mean, what other ship can do that? You know? So yeah, the TARDIS has really become my favorite ship. If I had to pick a ship that I would want for myself, it would be the TARDIS. It's kind of weird. Like, I didn't expect that. But yeah, it's such a great, great ship.
It's not very sexy though.
It's not sexy. Well, the thing is, on the outside,
it's sort of a phone booth.
On the outside, it's not sexy, but on the inside, it's amazing.
Oh yeah. Well, on the inside, it was just like they could just keep, you know, having rooms. You know, exactly. It's just like, what's this? And basically, you just walk into any giant building on Earth and just be like, yeah, this is in the TARDIS. Looks like the Sistine Chapel. Yes.
Yeah, we're still on a spaceship. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I love
what
this
if
ship.
What if all of Earth is actually inside the TARDIS?
That'd be crazy.
And we just don't know it.
Where's the door? Actually, MO85 is right. The TARDIS looks like a phone booth because its chameleon circuit is broken, and it's stuck in that mode. Like when you saw the Master's TARDIS, it could be like a Roman column or whatever, you know, because it had a chameleon circuit, so it could change to be whatever.
Mm.
But the Doctor's TARDIS is stuck as a blue box.
Speaking of the Master, did you ever see the Doctor Who movie?
I did not.
Not the one with Peter Cushing.
No. The one with Eric Stoltz.
Yeah.
No,
Aaron Roberts. Yeah.
Eric Roberts and I forget the guy's name.
The guy that was Doctor Who that one.
Peter McGann.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did a short webisode before the 50th anniversary that was just so fucking good. I've heard the movie isn't that great though.
It's an 80s movie.
But it was in the 90s. That's the thing. It was in the 90s.
Yeah, okay. So
it
was a Fox
TV movie in the 90s or something?
It had the lameness of a 90s movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was lame.
So many people requested this. A bunch of people actually requested this one. This is the Shadow Ship from Babylon 5, which is just so fucking creepy.
Goddamn space spiders.
Yeah.
What's going on?
So creeps me the fuck out, this thing does. So creepy. But yeah, I never liked this ship. Creeps me the fuck out. Looks like a giant tick, and that's why it freaks me out. So let's see what's next. Ah, here you go. What's that ship that you like from the black hole? I like the other, oh shit. I like the other ship from the black hole.
The Palomino?
Yeah, I like the Palomino.
Because it looks fairly practical. It's a soup can with rockets.
While you
on
have
the
Cygnus, which is the giant like fucking garden.
Yeah, it's a greenhouse.
Engines.
In space.
It's a fucking greenhouse with it's a greenhouse with engines and a fucking tower on the back of it. I never liked this design. It looked like it was just a bunch of glass sections held together by fucking metal girders. It's just such a poor design, you know?
And yeah, it was just a completely frickin' weird ship. Although I kind of loved it for that, right? And then it was
the whole movie is fucking weird. The whole movie is fucking weird.
That might have been the first incidence of space zombies in cinema.
Space zombies? I don't even remember. I think
all the crew was dead, man.
That's right. I forgot about that. I've blocked a lot of this movie out. The only thing I like, the only thing I haven't blocked out is the Hillbilly Bob robot.
Yeah.
And the Palomino. Those are the only thing. Oh, and Maximilian, because Maximilian was fucking amazing.
You know what amazed me about that movie was that whole scene with Anthony Perkins, where Maximilian drills his heart out through the book.
Oh, God.
I was just like, I was sitting in the theater, and what year did this movie come out? 79?
79.
Okay, so I'm 9 years old, right?
Jesus,
and I'm sitting in the theater, and I was just like a little bit of cringe, right? I wasn't like, oh, that's so cool. I was just like, I am really surprised that they put that in a kid's movie, was what went through my head.
It's a Disney movie.
I was just like, that's kind of horrific. I turned to my mom and I was like, that's pretty horrific. It's like, why did they put that in a kid's movie? That's, wow. You know, cause it's like, it didn't like disturb me or whatever, right? I was just like, that's really out of place.
Oh, Waystone calls it the Eiffel Tower in space. That's exactly what it fucking is. Oh my God.
It is, yes.
That, you're so right, Waystone.
The nasty French.
Oh my God. The fucking Eiffel Tower in space. You're absolutely right. And he says it's ridiculous and beautiful. It's highly impractical. Death Screetion says it's highly impractical. It's
got
a big bullseye.
I'll show you ridiculous and beautiful. So there is this movie called The War in Space.
Oh God. It already sounds terrible.
It was Japanese Star Wars kind of thing.
What is this? Is this an Ewok with an axe? What is this?
That's the dreaded banana Wookiee from.
Oh God!
It's got what like banana horns.
What the fuck?
It's ridiculous. What? So yeah, the pirate guy in this movie. Well, okay, so it's got the Japanese ship, the Gotengo. It's basically a submarine with a drill on the nose. If you've seen that, and it's been in a couple of Godzilla movies and stuff. It was the Atragon was the original name of it, and it was like a World War II super submarine thing in that movie. Anyway, so that's the good guy's ship, and the bad guy who is a space pirate. It is actually a pirate ship with cannons and sails.
What?
In space.
That sounds familiar.
Yes.
That sounds familiar.
And remember when we looked at, and it was like Kerbal Space Program and they had the
yes.
The pirate galleon in space. It's straight up that in this movie. I just can't find a good picture of it, but it's, yeah. And it's got like a big dragon on the prow, you know, like the whatever the hell that is, you know, the statue on the front of the ship is this dragon,
right.
And it actually shoots fire out of the mouth.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my gosh, yes. It's amazing.
Well, now I've got up the Enterprise refit /A, which to me is the first ship I really ever fell in love with. I mean, I liked the Enterprise from the original series.
Yeah.
But when I first saw this one in the motion picture, it just clicked. It's still my favorite Enterprise out of all of them.
Yeah. Oh my God, it had oars too. I found a picture of it.
What?
And it was made by Toho. Because Toho. But this is actually the DVD cover. Okay. There you go.
Posted in the chat. Okay.
Oh my God. So Power Rangers. It hurts.
Oh God, it's got a drill in the front?
Well, the Goten, yeah, that's the good guy's ship.
Oh God, I love their outfits.
If you watch,
Godzilla,
the last one, whatever the hell that was, it was Godzilla Armageddon, or I can't even remember the name of it.
What the hell?
That is what fights Godzilla.
Oh God,
in that movie. But look below that at the frickin' pirate ship with oars.
I did see that. That's pretty impressive.
And the giant dragon on the front. Oh God, it hurts. Space oars. Whatever was your boat, I guess.
Right. But Darzal says he likes the NX Enterprise a little more than this one. I can understand that. That was an interesting design.
I was offended, actually. I
offended?
Yeah. Okay. So they go back and they do like a pre-original series Enterprise with Captain Archer and shit, right?
Right.
Yet the ship is not more primitive than the Enterprise ships. It looks like something that is perhaps beyond even the next generation ship, right? It's almost like the Borg took over the Enterprise, and that's what this thing looks like. And it's just like, no, God damn it. You know, make it – I want something that looks like – I don't know, like take the thing from First Contact, right?
Yeah.
And then go like 50 years in the future from that, right? And it's like, make it look like something that NASA would have came up with.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. Because, like, in Starfleet battles, they actually had the ship list for, like, the primitive ships, like the original, like, Federation and Romulan War. Well, it wasn't even a Federation then. It was basically, like, humans versus Romulans, whatever. And we were tossing nukes at each other in space, right? So it's just like, yeah, show me that shit. I want to see something that's, like, more spacey. Because that's always been the problem in Star Trek, is they treat space like it just ain't space, you know, like it's not deadly, and you know that like the only one time was in Star Trek Generations when people like got sucked out into space, and then it was like, oh yeah, hey, space is some deadly shit, you know, but otherwise it's just like, oh, just put a force field up, you know, and there's a hole in the hull. Oh, who cares? There's force fields. It'll keep the air in. You know, no big deal. It's like a spaceship is more like an office building in that show. I wanted to see, like, primitive space travel where space alone is fucking deadly. And, you know, we don't have to worry about like Klingons.
Sounds like Interstellar.
Kind of, except for the spiritual message and the family values. But, yes.
You know what's interesting about the Enterprise is that some of them look great and some of them look boring as fuck. Like, I think the classic Enterprise from the original series is a little boring. I love this Enterprise.
Yeah, that's the Enterprise. Best. That yeah. Right there, the refit Enterprise A yeah. is the best. Best fucking the best. Ship in all of Star Trek. I said it. And
I can't really disagree with you. I love the Defiant, but this is pretty classic.
Dude, when
but
that thing came on the screen in the movie, there was a reason that first movie spent like 3 hours flying around the space dock and showing that.
Exactly. That was the first ship I really fell in love with. But just as Emo, in the chat, the Enterprise B was basically like an Excelsior with some extra shit bolted onto it. Ooh. And then, the C, that was such a dull design, you know, for the Enterprise C.
Yeah, the C was the one where the nacelle wings went straight out flat and then came straight up, right?
So boring.
Yeah, it was pretty weird.
You know what it reminded me of? You remember cars in the early 80s? Like, remember 60s and 70s cars had soul? And then you get to the 80s and shit just, like, gets really corporate and boring? It reminded me of that. Like, remember the 1981 Mustang? How boring that motherfucking Mustang is. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, that's a Mustang? Looks like a fucking Ford Taurus, you know? That's like the Ford Taurus of Enterprise.
I'm trying to find, and this is difficult, right? Because there have been, here it is. Star Trek II, where they had concept Enterprises for... Yeah, because it was like Gene Roddenberry wanted to make another Star Trek before the movies.
Oh, right? The show.
Yeah,
this is the
concept of the Enterprise from the Star Trek 2. And then you will understand.
I've seen this.
You will understand the C model completely once you see this.
Yeah,
because
it was
like an homage to Star Trek 2.
It's so awful. It's so.
It was that ship, basically.
It looks like a spastic Enterprise, like, bleh! You know, it's basically like, oh god, it looks like a scared Enterprise.
Never
like
go full startled. Enterprise.
It looks startled. Enterprise looks startled, is what happened here.
Yeah,
but yeah. This refit here, the refit slash A, just such an. I must have had four models of this.
Here's another one. This is another reason that I'm glad Star Trek II didn't happen.
Oh yeah, I've definitely seen that.
That would have been the worst. Awful... It's like a Star Destroyer with the frickin' saucer bolted onto the top of it.
It's like they flattened a Star Destroyer, they made it into like a pizza, put a couple of nacelles on it, and then kept the saucer. It's like, why?
Yeah.
Why would you do that? But no, this ship, I should find out more about the design of this ship, because I swear I had three or four models. I had two that lit up. You know,
oh, very nice.
Cause I loved this ship. Emma says, "Have we seen the Polar Lights Enterprise model? It's gorgeous." Link us in the chat. Put a link in there. So, what's next on the Hit Parade? Ah, yes, the classic X-wing fighter. Really, there, besides the Falcon, this is like the iconic Star Wars ship, if you think about it. Like, you have the Star Destroyer, you have the Falcon, and then you have this. And TIE Fighter, I guess. But I don't know, I think this is looked upon more fondly, because of course it was Luke's ship. But I think it also has some more personality than
well,
a TIE Fighter.
Well, the T-16 just doesn't get any love. The fucking Skyhoppers, man. You know, because you could really, like, kick the shit out of a Womp Rat.
Some Womp Rats, yeah. Just like fucking Womp Rats back home. No, it was the T-65. I think that's what this one was. And such a great design. Like, I think I really took, like, it almost takes your breath. I think it almost took my breath away the first time I saw it. I mean, there's no reason for it to be shaped like this at all in space. Like, none. But since it could fly in the atmosphere, I guess. But it never made any sense to me why the S-foils needed to separate. Like, that was, I've never found a good explanation for that.
I guess it's for convergence of the beams or something. Because you get, like, a bigger spread, you know, like, better odds of hitting a TIE fighter, I guess. I don't know.
I suppose.
You know really why? Because it fucking looks cool.
Does look very cool. One thing I love is it's a little touch. I love how the guns have like blast suppressors on them at the end there. So like the pilot isn't blinded or something?
No, that's just Flash Gordon shit. Imagine if they'd have put concentric rings or something, right? Like a
really?
You know, like a 1960s like ray gun, you know.
Oh, right? Is that what that's all about?
Yeah, it's something like that. I think that's the homage to Flash Gordon ray gun technology.
I see. All right, let's see what the next one is. Oh no, is that the last one? That might be the last one. That is the last one. Oh my God, we made it.
Yep.
2 hours later, we made it all the way to the end.
You know,
wow.
we don't have a Miranda class from Star Trek though, and really,
the Reliant.
Yeah, the Reliant was great.
It really was a good design, solid design that just kept getting used over and over again in Star Trek because it's a workhorse of the fleet. What was that other ship? That science vessel? Remember that weird science vessel? They showed up in Klingon Academy a lot in the beginning. Oh, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's got like that. It looks like a almost like a canoe with a saucer on top of
yes,
it.
Yes, yes. What the hell was
Oberth
that?
Class, I think it is.
Yeah, Oberth. Oberth, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, the Oberth.
I'm almost ashamed that I know that so easily. It's like,
I'm
a nerd. It's okay.
No, you're absolutely right, you guys. It's the Oberth class. Yeah, definitely. Apparently, they're still used quite a bit. Yeah, I never understood how you got from one section of the ship to the other.
Yeah.
We should have
special mention for Captain Pike's wheelchair.
Oh.
I
thought you were going to say we should have special mention for the captain's yacht. Next Generation Enterprise that we never actually got to see.
I was going
to
ask, like, did they ever actually? Because
no,
I think
it
existed as a
in the technical manual.
Yeah,
in the technical manual. That's the only place. That's the only place it ever existed.
It would have been really cool if the captain's yacht had actually been a runabout.
Yeah, yeah, and like when he went on his holiday, that's what he took.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been great. So we went through a lot of ships tonight. There's many, many in here, and we will definitely be I'll definitely be adding these to the post on the site. But there are a lot of good ships from movies and TV shows, and some of them we could fly, and some of them we can't. Like out of all these movie and TV shows ships, we'll end with this. Which one do you wish you could fly in a video game that we haven't been able to before?
Oh my.
I know, it's tough, right? It's tough. It's very tough.
I'm almost saying, like, the space uterus. It's just because of absurdity. Like, if they would actually...
It did kick some ass.
But if they built a game around that ridiculous thing, that would be pretty cool. But no, if it was... Honestly, I want a flying saucer in a game because nobody has done it.
Well, not really.
It was done like in a sub-logic thing where they did a, you know, UFO sim, but it wasn't a frickin' saucer. Now, there was that one game that never came out, and you and I both played it because I think we both got like press
copies.
What's
the name? I can't remember the fucking name of it. And, it was like flying. Was it Flying Saucer? I think that's what it was just simply called. It was Flying Saucer.
Yeah. And it's, oh my God. I found it. Found a frickin', you know what? The download of this beast has got to be out there somewhere. That it can't be dead. Here's a screenshot from the game.
Yeah, it was called Flying Saucer.
You know, and that's a
Yes, that was it.
Yep, that's the thing that we didn't mention is what about the ship from Flight of the Navigator?
Oh,
the USS Rubens.
The SS Pee-wee. Yes,
USS Pee-wee.
Fuck, I love that ship. That's right. How could I? We just watched Fly the Navigator again a few months ago. Still holds up.
Yeah, I heard.
Totally holds
up. I heard they're doing a reboot of it or something.
Oh God, I hope not. It's such an 80s thing. It's such an 80s thing. It would not work now.
No.
I don't think that would work now. Oh my God. Whoa, wait, what? Oh my God, a custom 6-foot Enterprise A. Oh my God, it's beautiful.
Oh my God. I just found it, dude. It's on, I found an abandonware site that's got the saucer.
Okay, link it to me later. Oh my God, yes. That's amazing. Oh my God. Oh my God, these models are amazing. Are you seeing this, the image? Hang on, let me put this in the window here so people can see how amazing that looks. Look at that. That's incredible. Oh, I want that. I wish I had a place big enough for that. Oh, and the money to buy it. Oh, it's just absolutely
gorgeous. I'm waiting on the stream to change so that I can see this vision.
Oh, he linked it in the chat. You can just it's the last image in the chat. Oh my God, that's just
gorgeous. Oh, that is nice.
Oh, I need a moment alone with this picture. I'm sorry, not to get dirty, but I need a moment alone with this and a towel. Oh my, I think, oh, look at the picture. The guy, I think might be holding his own crotch.
Might be. So well, what's interesting, right, is like they did the Aztec-ing on the saucer really well and on the side, right? But yeah. I had never noticed it on the nacelles like that because it looks almost like digital camo or some shit.
Do you mean the blue ridges on the
no,
inner
no, no,
part?
The gray and white, the contrasted. The
totally. Stuff. There were definitely different colored stripes on the nacelles. The models had those too, and that's amazing detail.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's just the thing of the pattern on there. I never realized it as prominently as that of how striking.
It's almost it was. Like it's almost like camo, almost.
Kind of, yeah. But on the dish itself, because I've seen people when they do the model kit stuff, and then you have to paint that shit by hand, and it's like wow, you know. Try doing that and not getting brush strokes and stuff and have like perfectly square corners and oh God. So, but there was somebody that was making a thing. Hell, it might've even been this guy. It was like the progress shots of like, oh, I'm doing this. I'm doing that kind of thing as it went along. But yeah, it was a big model. I don't know if it was this dude or not, but it was also lighted model.
Guy. Oh, it's so beautiful.
That, wow. What do you do with that? Where do you put it?
You have a really big fireplace, and you put it above that. That's like the centerpiece.
I guess, man. Or it's a coffee table. Like you put it in a glass box, and the box is the coffee table.
That would not be a bad coffee table.
You saw the Galaxy class coffee table I sent.
Yes, of course I did. Yeah. That was amazing. Yeah, this could be a glass enclosed coffee table. This would definitely be somewhere prominent. Like if I had all the money in the world, I'd have a model room. With shit like this in it. It would be this and Serenity and like Slave One and all kinds of whack and the Falcon. Oh, that's beautiful. And I can't stop looking at it. It's my eyes are just Such a beautiful show. Okay, we're going to end it there, folks. Next week, just as a programming note, we have an early podcast because our guests are overseas. We're going to be talking to the folks who are making a new first-person space sim that's also a roguelike called Everspace. They used to make a game called Galaxy on Fire 2. It's the same people, but with a new company. And they're going to be kickstarting this game soon. Sadly, we can't get a build, so they're just going to be sending us video, which is sad because I want to play it.
Who I was talking to today?
Who were you talking to?
It was John. I can't remember his last name. Let me look. Where the heck is it?
You know, I was talking to you today while you're looking because I had to redo my Skype everything. Mike Tipul was like, is this really you? I'm like, yeah, it's me. How you doing? He's like, oh, God, early access is almost done and it's driving me crazy.
Well, like, but that's exciting. Progress.
That's exciting.
Oh, yeah. So it's John O'Neill over at Sparkplug Games.
I'm
kind of negotiating, like, when can he come in here and make your hair stand up by talking about the Serenity or the Firefly game? So what he told me, the plan is that Firefly game is going to be episodic content, and it's basically going to be season 2, 3, 4, and 5.
What?
The show is how they're going to
do it. Really?
Yeah, that's the plan. So it'll be kind of an MMO, I guess. But if everybody flies the frickin' Serenity around,
there's going to be other ships. There's going to be other ships. I mean, if you recall when they landed at Persephone, there were several different other designs just docked there. And then there was that other ship that docked with the Serenity in Out of Gas that looked kind of like a giant space crab. So there are other types of ships out there. So it's going to be interesting. But yeah, folks, so next week the podcast is going to be at 6 a.m. Pacific time, 9 a.m. Eastern time. I'll definitely be putting it up in the calendar so y'all know. But yeah, it's going to be a little different timing if you want to check it out live. We're going to have the folks doing Everspace. So thank you so much for watching. And I guess we'll have Hunter back in 2 weeks because he can't do the early shows. Or can he now? Is he employed? Can he now?
He is not employed yet, so I believe that we will hold him accountable
for
showing the hell up.
Okay, he better show up. You better have internet by
then. I'll drive down there and knock on his damn door.
You can do that now.
I can.
Oh, my God, you totally can do that now.
It could happen.
So, folks, thank you so much for watching and listening, and we will see you next week. Have a good one.
And please exit through the gift shop.
Oh, I already cut it. Damn it.
Patreon.com.
I already did.
Space Game Junkie.
I already cut it.
It's okay. I didn't.
Oh, okay, good.
All right,
guys. Anyway.